to get rolling with today's service. Before we get going, I want to just take a minute to share a couple of things with you about the church's website, okay? That are changes that I just would like for everybody to be aware of, okay? If you look at this, this is the church's website, gracelifebiblechurch.com, and you'll notice that across the top are red bands, okay? These are not COVID warnings, these are announcements, all right? So one of the things that we've done, in what we're trying to do is to take the bulletin and make sure that the website is current every week with the information that's in the bulletin, all right? So this was updated based upon last week's bulletin, and it'll be updated again this week. We know that you forget your bulletin, you misplace your bulletin, you don't know where it went or where things are, and we wanted to have a way for you to get information regarding the church instantly. And so at the top of this, you'll see these announcements. All you have to do is hit the X's and get rid of them after you've read them and are aware of them. The other thing I want to show you is, if you scroll down on the church's website, you'll notice that we have this calendar section, okay? This calendar section is also going to be current with the updated calendar of events. This page here, mark your calendars, and the different things that are in the bulletin. So we're trying to have our website reflect the information that is being presented every Sunday morning in terms of upcoming events, announcements, things related to that. Now, what we're probably not going to do, unless somebody says it's okay, is to put like any personal information on there, right? Like in the bulletin, it talks about certain people who might need prayer. We're probably not going to put that on the website unless somebody says they want it there or they're okay with it being there. But just a brief little update about that. The other thing I want to talk to you about is the church has established a Rumble channel as an alternative to Facebook. No, I'm sorry, not Facebook, YouTube. So this is an alt-tech alternative to YouTube that is supposed to be, you know, censorship-free and this kind of a thing. So if something were to happen and our YouTube ministry were to be taken away from us because somebody, you know, doesn't like something we say or something along those lines, we have already moved to establish this alternative here on Rumble. So ever since we've done this, all of the studies that I've done, both here at the church and then also from my office at home, they have all been uploaded to Rumble. So if you're into this, just wanted you to know this. We're up to 90 subscribers here. Please check that out if you are so inclined to do that, okay? So just a couple announcements about technology and different things that are available here at the church. So you guys can leave that up for a few more minutes as we get started here. Look in your Bible with me, and let's get started then with the message, having given you those announcements. Colossians chapter 3. So we've been taking our time going through here, and we are starting today verse 16. So let's read verse 16, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started with the message. Verse 16, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We pray that as we look at the issue this morning of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we pray that we'll have clarity and understanding. This would be a matter, a topic, an issue that we would take seriously, and that we will understand that your word has been designed to dwell in us richly, to be the reservoir out of which we draw from and to live our lives as members of the church, the body of Christ. And we pray that we'll be edified and built up as a result of this study this morning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So verse 16 is, again, in this lengthy passage here where Paul is talking to us very practically. We know from prior studies that verses 1 and 2 are the doctrinal section of the book of Colossians, and that chapters 3 and 4 are primarily the practical section of the book of Colossians, that our practice of believers is based upon doctrine. They go together. They can't be separated. If you try to have one without the other, you'll be missing the information that God intends for us to have. He wants us to not only understand what's going on, understand what he's doing today in the dispensation of grace, he wants us to be able to act on that and to put it into practice in the details of our lives. And so we're studying this passage here in chapter 3, which is very practical. In fact, if you let your eye run down the page a little bit, you'll see it's going to get even more practical as he starts talking to wives and husbands and parents, okay? And there's going to be instructions to specific people in the body of Christ that are in specific life circumstances, if you will, or life situations. But everything he said so far is specific to all of us, right? It's not, I should say, it's It's general. It's for all of us that are members of the Church of the Body of Christ. Obviously, in a few verses, if you're not a wife, then, you know, that what he says there, it doesn't apply to you directly if you're not a wife, or if you're not a husband, or if you're not a parent, etc. So, but everything we're looking at here so far is for all of us. It's for all of us who are believers, all of us who are members of the Church, the Body of Christ. And we find ourselves in verse 16. Look at that first phrase. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, there's a lot of stuff in this verse, and we're going to kind of go through this in our normal systematic form. The first thing I want to say, and I hate to sound like a broken record, folks, but the first thing I want to say is, once again, this statement in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, this is an imperative statement, okay? This is a statement in the imperative move. This is yet another command that our Apostle Paul has for us today as believers living in the dispensation of grace that we are to pay attention to. And again, not to belabor this point, but it's important, I think, for us to take stock of this list of imperatives. They started back in verse 1. So if you just look at the screen here, I've got them all summarized for you here. They started back in verse 1 with the statement to seek those things which are above. Then in verse 2, we saw set your affection on things above. In verse 5, Paul said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. In verse 8, he said, put off all these. For anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Those are all to be put off. In verse 9, we have the imperative statement to lie not one to another, seeing that ye have already put off the old man with his deeds. In verse 12, we have the statement to put on, therefore, as the elect of God. And then we have these items. The bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Okay, and then also charity there in verse 14. If you look at verse 14, above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And we talked about what that means in relationship to all those prior statements. Then in verse 15, we have two imperative statements. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. At the end of verse 15, he says, be ye thankful. And then we have the one today that we're going to be talking about, which is let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly, right? So we have all of these are imperative statements for us as members of the church, the body of Christ, okay? Now, you guys can take that down if you would, please. Now, why that is important is I'm just going to say to you the way I've looked at this and the way I've thought about this as I've studied through this, preparing to teach you. I don't need God to tell me anything else that I need to pay attention to as a member of the church, the body of Christ, because this list pretty much covers it, okay? This list pretty much covers what I'm to put off, the thoughts, attitudes, and actions that are not to be, you know, indicative of me as a member of the church, the body of Christ, and the things that I'm to put on, the thoughts, attitudes, and actions that I'm supposed to put on, and how I'm supposed to function and operate as a member of the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace. And so we don't really need anything else. God doesn't need to tell us anything more to occupy our time and attention, because these things right here are sufficient. And I know they are, because even in my own personal life, as I go week to week, guess what? I have conflicts. My wife and I don't always see things the same way. My children and I, for sure, always don't see things the same way. Okay? My employer and I, other members of the body of Christ and I, we don't always see things the same way. Okay? And what those are opportunities then for us to practice thinking, to practice what we're learning about, okay? To put on and to put off with respect to the things that we're learning as we study through this passage. I don't need anything else, because this is sufficient to occupy my time and attention, okay? Now, let's talk about this next one here. Look at the way that verse 16 starts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice how similar that is. Notice how similar that is to the beginning of verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? There's a letting here. The letting here is not in the sense of, you know, something being hindered, like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is you and I making a choice. So as we saw in verse 15, when speaking about the peace of God, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts, okay, as being completely a matter of the believer's choice. Meaning, is it automatic? When you get off into life and get off into the circumstances of life, you have to make choices to put on and function in truth. Because you get off in those, you get off into the circumstances of life, and you very easily revert back to your old flesh patterns and your old ways of dealing with and coping with and trying to get through life, instead of by faith putting on the new man, etc. Right? So we have a choice in verse 15 whether we're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, and we have a choice in verse 16 whether or not we're going to let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in us richly. Whose decision is it? It's yours. It's mine. It's ours, right? I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make that decision for me. That is an individual decision that each and every one of us make as members of the church, the body of Christ. Whether we're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts in verse 15, or whether we're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in verse 16. We have a choice regarding these things. These things are not automatic. Now, I'm going to make this point here in a few minutes, but I want to sort of preface it here. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in your heart as a believer? So, are you equipped through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit living in your heart to put on what we're to put on, is what we're instructed to put on here, right? But we still have to make what? The choice, right? It's not an automatic thing. It's not you wake up tomorrow morning and you're automatically going to, you know, function in the reality of who God has made you in Christ. You have to make that choice, right? You have to make the choice to let the peace of God rule in your heart, and you have to let the choice, make the choice to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let's talk about this issue of the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, okay? Now, the term that Paul uses here is the Word of Christ. He says, Paul uses the term Word of Christ, and I'm going to say to you that that is a terminology that would be equal to the Word of God, right? Who is Jesus Christ God? Is Jesus Christ the second member of the Godhead, right? So when he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he's talking about the Word of God. Go back with me to chapter 1 of Colossians. Go back with me to chapter 1. And we need to see here that who created heaven and earth? Well, you say God did, right? You ask one of the kids there in the children's church, you say, who created heaven and earth? They're probably going to say God. But we know from Paul that it was a specific member of the Godhead that was involved in that, right? Look at Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, talking about Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created what? By him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, right? So who is the creator of all things? You say God. Can he be more specific? Which member of the Godhead? The second member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Go to John chapter 1. Come over to John chapter 1. So the Word of Christ and the Word of God are terms in your Bible that can be used interchangeably. Okay, this is basically what I'm wanting you to see here, right? So look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, who? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? By him. Well, who's the him? Who is the him in verse 3? The him in verse 3 is the Word, right? The Word that was in the beginning with God and was God, right? Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was what? Made. Drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. Who is that? That is Jesus Christ. That is the eternal Son of God. Who was in the beginning with God that was the active agent in the creation of heaven and earth? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So Genesis chapter 1 just says, in the beginning God created the heaven and what? The earth. That's what Genesis 1:1 says. But when you read the rest of your Bible, you get more light, further information, more detail about how that happened, right? Who was the one that was there in the beginning speaking the universe into creation according to the Word of God? It was who? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, he was there and he was present in those things. So, come back to Colossians chapter 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of Christ is comparable with the Word of God. The Word of God for us today as believers, for the church of this dispensation, which is God's program for today, has at its heart the truth of the mystery. Okay? So Paul is saying here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. How did Paul get that information? Well, let's look at some verses on this. Come with me, if you would. Come with me to Romans 16. Come over to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. I've got these verses here. And I've got them in the order they appear in your Bible, so hopefully finding them is a little bit easier. They're not necessarily in maybe the best teaching order, but that's what I chose to do this morning. Verse 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you, according to my gospel, notice, and the preaching of who? Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. This mystery that was revealed to Paul is explicitly called here the preaching of who? Jesus Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery, right? What is Paul saying in Colossians 3, verse 16, that we're to let dwell in us richly in all wisdom? It's the word of who? It's the word of Christ, right? When he says that, he's talking about, not only is he talking about the word of God in general, but he's talking about the Word of Christ. There's a part of that he has in mind when he says that is related to this body of truth that was committed to him for us today living in this dispensation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now let me just say, this is not just this chart information here. Okay? What I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the Word of Christ, yes, I'm talking about the revelation of the mystery to and through the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about the body of Christ in a dispensational sense. But he's also talking about the practical things that are wrapped up in that. The fact that your old man is crucified, that you're a new creature, all of that is part of the Word of Christ. It is the doctrinal side of it and the practical side of it. The stuff that allows us to understand the Bible, the Scriptures on the basis of time past, but now and ages to come, the way we have them over here on that chart. And that chart is not the Bible. That chart is a graphic representation of what the Bible teaches. Okay? We don't worship the chart. We use it as a teaching tool to help us understand what the Bible says, right? That's all part of the Word of Christ, but so is all of this stuff in Colossians 3 about putting off and putting on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Before we read that verse, let me just say, a lot of folks who are grace-believing dispensationalists, they think it's just that chart. It's not just that chart and what that chart represents. It's all the practical stuff too. Okay? Verse 37. If any man think himself, now watch what Paul says. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of who? Folks, are Paul's epistles every bit as much scripture as anything written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? As anything written in Hebrews to Revelation? Paul's saying, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, they need to acknowledge that the things that he's saying in his epistles, that those things are the word, are the commandments of who? The Lord, right? So there's the word of Christ that Christ revealed related to the preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that Christ himself revealed from heaven to and through the Apostle Paul. Come over to Galatians chapter 1. Come over with me to Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I'm in the wrong verse. Hang on a second. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after who? Man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. How's that verse end? But by the revelation of who? Folks, was Paul preaching the same gospel that Peter, James, and John were preaching? Was he preaching the same gospel that the Lord Jesus was preaching during his earthly ministry? No. But is he preaching a gospel that he got by the direct revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would that qualify in your mind as the word of Christ? Paul literally has the word of Christ. He's received a, not only has he received revelation or information, notice what that says. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fully disclosed himself to the Apostle Paul in his resurrected, glorified form and revealed information to him, disclosed information to him that had heretofore not been what? Made known or revealed. So when Paul's talking about the Word of Christ and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he's not merely talking about the Word of God in general, but he's also talking about this specific Word of Christ that was revealed to him. One of the worst things that has ever been done to a Bible, in my opinion, you're free to disagree, is to take the words of Jesus and put them in red. Everything Paul says should also be in what? Red, because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got this information by revelation of Jesus Christ. That is his testimony of where it came from. Go to Ephesians 3. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me what? The mystery. Where did Paul get this information from? He got it by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of who? So how do we know Paul's knowledge? Where did Paul get this knowledge of the mystery of Christ? He got it from who? He got it from Christ. And he got it from Christ, and then God the Holy Spirit moved upon him to write down this information in his epistles under inspiration. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in who? In Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister. So he's made a minister of this information, of this promise that was in Christ, that was kept secret, and now made known and revealed. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of who? Of Christ. Was Paul given a specific word of Christ? Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we already studied that verse. It's on the internet if you want to get that message. Let me know. I'll show you where to get it. Whereof I, he says I, referring to himself, whereof I was made a minister, according to, or in line with, the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Look at the next phrase. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Look, folks, if you're paying attention to the Apostle Paul, you cannot escape the fact that he's claiming to have information that nobody before him had. And he's claiming that he got that information from who? From Christ. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among who? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where? In you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may make every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. Okay, one more on this. Come over to 1 Timothy 6. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And here's probably the clearest statement, which is why I saved it for last. So you need to be stacking these verses together here on what the Word of Christ is. The Word of Christ is, it refers to the Word of God in general. Specifically, it refers to that portion of the Word of God that was given to who? Paul, by the resurrected, glorified, ascended Christ. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, look at the next phrase, even the words of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men. What did Paul call his words that he was writing in verse 3? He called them the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, anybody, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise. So what would that be? That would be teaching contrary. Other teaching. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Is Paul claiming that what he is writing are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, so come back to Colossians chapter 3. So, there's a general sense here, and there's a specific sense here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, okay? In the general sense, it would be, you know, in a sense, are all the words of God the words of Christ? They are, right? Who is the living word? Jesus Christ. What is this? This is the written word, right? And according to the word of God, is the living word and the written word equal to each other? Okay? So there's that sense, but there's also the sense here of specific information that Paul wants the Colossians to know. And remember, folks, this is chapter 3. Have there been two chapters before this? Where he has talked about in chapter 1, the mystery. Where he has talked about their completeness in Christ in chapter 2. Where he's talked about how the fact that because of the sacrifice of Christ, the law is paid off and they're not supposed to be following, you know, the religious traditions of men, etc., right? So when he says this in this verse, it includes all of that. All of that information in chapter 1, chapter 2, and what he said so far in chapter 3, it's all the work of who? Christ. So Paul's admonition for the Colossians is to let the word of Christ, i.e., the body of doctrine revealed from heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Apostle Paul, to dwell in them how? Richly. Whose choice is it? It's theirs. It's ours. I can stand up here and I can preach about, you know, what I believe to be the case and what my understanding of things is. But you know what? I don't go home with you. You don't come home with me. I don't come home with you and sit there and make sure that, you know, you're, you know, putting off and putting on, etc., and doing what you're supposed to do according to God's word any more than you come home with me, right? Who's responsible for that? You are. I am. We are individually as members of the church, the body of Christ. So there's the imperative command to let the word of Christ dwell richly. So let's talk about that next part. Dwell. The word here that associated with the word dwell means to inhabit. Okay? It means to inhabit, to live in, or to make one's home in. So, some of you who have been to our house, we live on a country road, and on our, if you come up Myers Lake and you turn and you go to our house, there's this old abandoned farmhouse. Kind of, it's boarded up. It's one of these, you know, houses you might see like in a scary movie or something, okay? It's all boarded up. There's some windows there that still have glass in them. Most of the glass has been broken out of it, etc. And it's clear that nobody's living in that house. That house is what? Abandoned. It's not being dwelt in. It's not being what? Lived in. It's abandoned. right? This idea, let the word of Christ do what? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to let it do in the first? We're supposed to let it dwell in us how? Richly. Okay? We're supposed to let it dwell in us richly. Dwell again. Inhabit. Live in. Or to make one's home in. Paul is talking about the word of Christ being given access to live in believers and to inhabit their minds. Okay? Now, let me give you an illustration here. Have any of you ever been invited to somebody's house, and even though they invited you, you didn't necessarily feel very welcome? Okay, come on. I know some of you have had, you all know that's never happened to me. We've all had that experience, right? Okay? Now, different people, when you go into their house, they have different sort of, you know, expectations and rules of guests, right? Now, I do things probably in my house that I would never do if I were a guest in yours. Like, I probably would not go to your fridge and open up the milk and drink out of the jug, for example. Okay? I would not, probably wouldn't do that, right? Because that would be, you know, Robin would kick me out. I see Robin back there. But you wouldn't do that, right? Why would you not do that? Why would you not do that? Because you would perceive that to be rude and so on, right? That might be, you know, Robin says to me, make yourself at home. Okay, well, I do this at home, so I'll do it here, right? My point is, can you be residing, dwelling somewhere, and not really be making yourself at home, so to speak? Okay? So here's the point I want to make. Does the Holy Spirit reside and indwell every member of the church, the body of Christ? Positionally, by the fact that you're saved. Okay? So by way of practical application, are you letting the Holy Spirit drink from the milk jug in your life? Okay? That's the idea here of what? Dwell. Living within. Occupying the space. Making oneself at home. Now, come with me to Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells us as members of the body of Christ. This is one of the things that we get when we trust the gospel, right? Get two places. Get Romans 5 and Romans 8. Romans 5 and Romans 8. I mean, I could be invited to your house and say, you know what? I don't really like the TV there. I think it should go over there. Right? So I decide that I'm going to move your TV and your coffee table and your bookshelf because, you know, I think they look better over here, right? Now, how many of you would be offended if I did that? Okay, well, see, now we're, you don't want me to make myself that at home, do you? Okay? But I want you to think about the application that I'm trying to make. How many of you have allowed the Holy Spirit to do that in you? See, you like where the TV is, and that you drink, you know, you don't necessarily, there's certain things that you still want to have what? Control over, right? There's certain things that you still want to control, where that is and how that works and where that's positioned, and you still want to, you know, maintain that, right? And the Holy Spirit's there, He's a guest in your house, but He's not necessarily doing what? Dwelling in the sense of you're allowing Him to what? To live there the way He wants to. Or desires to. Does that make sense? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Gotten on to verse 5 for the sake of time. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, which is what? Folks, if you're a member of the church, the body of Christ, do you have the Holy Spirit? Does He reside in your heart as a believer? Okay? Now, do you decide whether you're going to yield to the Spirit or whether you're going to yield to the flesh? Okay? Go to Romans 8. So So the Holy Spirit inhabits and dwells in you, but that doesn't mean that you're always listening or paying attention, does it? It's kind of like your kids. Not that the Holy Spirit is an unruly child. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Somebody's going to write me and say that I just spoke heresy. I'm trying to use an illustration here, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. That, folks, that's not an if of maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's an if of a logical argument here. Paul's using the if of logic here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that might possibly one day dwell in you. Know what it says? No, it says that by His Spirit that what? Dwelleth where? So, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, in your heart, as a believer? Now, does that mean, though, that as a guest in your heart, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to really reside in and live and inhabit the way the Holy Spirit desires to? Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. On Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Watch. For ye are the temple of the living God. If you're a believer today, are you the temple of the living God? Is God the Holy Spirit indwelling you as a member of the church, the body of Christ? Does He live in you? Are you the temple of God? Okay? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will do what? Dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my what? My people, right? So, as a believer today, is God the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? Yes. Does that mean, though, that you are automatically yielding to the Spirit of God in the details of your life? No. Who makes that choice? You do. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 14. Paul says here, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. I, the Holy Ghost, which what? Dwelleth where? In you. So they're going to keep it by their own strength or by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I want you to do two things. I want you to get, in one hand, get Colossians 3. And in the other hand, I want you to get Ephesians 5. Get Colossians 3 in one hand and Ephesians 5 in the other. Look with me at Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay? I compare that with Ephesians 5. Verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Next verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, are Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 very similar to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17? They both talk about what? Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, etc., and they both talk about, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay? Are they very similar? They're very similar verses, right? But in Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Okay? Now, let's go back to Ephesians. Let me ask you a question. Does that mean in Ephesians 5, verse 18, that you don't have the Spirit? That you need to somehow go get more of them because you're lacking? Now, are there churches and denominations that teach that? Oh, we're just here today to get the Spirit. I'm feeling a little low today. The Spirit? No. Okay? You, when he says, but be filled with the Spirit, he's not talking about you going out and somehow cajoling God to give you more of his what? Spirit. That's not what he means. He means you making the choice to let the Spirit that you already have fill you. Now, how do I know that? Go back to chapter 1. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also what? Trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? So do you already have the Holy Spirit in chapter 1? How did you get the Holy Spirit in chapter 1? You got the Holy Spirit in chapter 1 when you believed and trusted Paul's gospel, right? And when you did that, did you receive and were you sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? So now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. When he says be filled with the Spirit, is he talking about going out and figuring out some way to have God give you more of his Spirit? Or is he using an illustration here? Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is what? Excess, but be filled with what? Now, there's a comparison in that verse, isn't there? Just somebody that is drunken with wine, wherein is what? Excess. What is controlling the faculties of that intoxicated person? It's the alcohol, right? It is the thing that they have over-consumed it. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. See, there's a comparison there, right? The comparison that he gives you is that of somebody who has had too much to drink, and how that person who has had too much to drink is under the influence and control of that alcohol, right? Well, how are we supposed to be as believers? We're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, we're to be filled with what? So, we are to, by illustration in the verse, be allowing the Holy Spirit that we already have to be the thing that fills us up and be the thing in the reservoir out of which we are living our what? Our lives. Okay? Notice what's accomplished. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, that's not talking about you getting more of the Spirit. That's talking about you taking the Spirit that you already have and living in light of who He's made you to be in Christ and allowing that to fill you up, allowing that to be the thing that controls you, allowing that to be the thing that motivates you, in contradistinction to the person who's consumed with alcohol, wherein is what? Excess. So, and it produces, what does it produce? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Now, does being filled with the Spirit there produce the same things that letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly does in Colossians 3? Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Here's my point. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, does it produce the same things in your life that being filled with the Spirit produces? So how am I filled? How do I get filled with the Spirit? Oh, Lord, zap me with another. No. How do I get filled with the Spirit? I let the Word of Christ do what? Dwell in me richly. You see that? Practically speaking, as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit residing in our hearts. But how much is His presence manifested in our lives? How many things are we still trying to hang on to and to oversee and to make sure they happen the way we want them to in the power of our own fleshly abilities? Okay? It's amazing what we con ourselves into thinking, right? Just to use a generic example, you don't want A to happen. Whatever A is. So you go out, you do B, C, and D, and E to make sure A doesn't happen. And in going and doing A, B, C, D, and E, you bring about A what? Happening. Because of your obsession and fixation on you trying to control A, whatever it is, and make sure A doesn't what? Happen. You follow what I'm saying? A could be anything, right? You know, you don't want to get in a fight with your wife or your husband, right? So you do all this stuff to try to, and you end up in a what? In a fight. You don't want to, you follow what I'm saying, right? Why? Because you're still trying to do all that how? Yourself. How many things are we still trying to hang on to and oversee in the power of our own fleshly ability? Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is about allowing the truth of what God is doing today and what He's already done for you as a member of the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace, allow those things to order and prioritize your life. Not the stuff over here that the world's trying to get you to do. Okay? And by the way, look at what it says, verse 16. And let the Word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. Richly is an adverb. It's modifying. How is the Word of Christ? How are we supposed to let the Word of Christ dwell in us? Like a poor old sad sack who doesn't have anything going for him? Or how? Richly. The word richly here carries the idea of lavish and abundant provision. That's what the word is. It's a quality. It's an adverb. Richly is an adverb indicating the quality of the dwelling that Paul is admonishing the Colossians with respect to. He doesn't want it to be subpar or minuscule or little bit here, a little bit there. He wants it to be what? Richly. Abundantly. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. verse 17. So we're just looking at a word here. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us, what's the word? Richly, all things to what? Enjoy. Go to Titus. You're right there. It's in Timothy. Go to Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 6. Which He shed on us minusculely. Huh? Abundantly through Jesus Christ our what? Savior. Folks, has God given the Holy Spirit abundantly? So when He says to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, when He says to be filled with the Spirit, He's acknowledging the fact that we have the abundance of the Holy Spirit, but we so often are living out of maybe a little sliver of it. Because we're allowing the course of this world and our brain and, you know, a million other things to over-prioritize things for us. But do you have the Holy Spirit in abundance? And you have the completed Word of God in your language that you can read and understand? One more verse on this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Folks, I have to say that God is doing something in your life according to His Word. And He's working in your life, and He wants to be active in your life, and He wants us to get this. He wants us to understand the deep things of God. To appreciate these things and to live in light of these things. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant, what? Grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You have the abundance of God, the Holy Spirit. I have the abundance of God, the Holy Spirit. We have the completed Word of God. And we need, what Paul's saying is, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Make the choice. Make the choice to let that be the thing. The Word of Christ and God the Holy Spirit, to let that be the thing that prioritizes and orders your life, and let it dwell. Let the Holy Spirit decide where the TV goes, or maybe you get rid of it. I don't know. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit be, I'm using that as an illustration, okay? Don't go home and say, Pastor said I got to throw out the TV. That's not what I said. Okay? Well, what I am saying is, we have the Holy Spirit in abundance, and we so often are living out of just a sliver of what the Holy Spirit has to offer us. And then we can come back to Colossians, and I'll try wrapping this up. Colossians chapter 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? In all what? In all wisdom. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly furnishes you with the ability to live your life on the basis of God's wisdom. To live your life on the basis of God's wisdom in contradistinction to human viewpoint and the wisdom of who? Do we have the mind of Christ through this book? Okay? Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you. So this is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. To filled with the knowledge of what God is doing. In all what? Wisdom. And spiritual understanding. Verse 10. In the intent. Circle that. Might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? What Paul said in that prayer, he's now addressing in chapter 3. And explaining to them how that works, how that functions, what that looks like. That's what he's doing in chapter 3. What he's saying in chapter 3 is not wholly unrelated to what he said in chapter 1. But the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, chapter 3, in all wisdom. I seem to recall a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Right? All of that is related to the Word of Christ. And the imperative here is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what? You understand that when you take the Word of Christ, when you take this book, and specifically the things Paul's our apostle has to say to us today as members of the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace, when you take those things and you believe those things and you apply those things, you have the ability to function out of the wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world what? Do you understand? And they still don't know it because they ignore this book. Okay? So when you look around and you see all kinds of crazy going on, what do you expect is going to happen when a bunch of people are trying to run a system apart from the wisdom of God? It's going to be a mess. And that's what we have. We got to what? But you understand, your life doesn't need to be a mess. It doesn't. Your life, my life, our life as believers doesn't need to be a mess. Doesn't need to be lived out of fear. Doesn't need to be lived out of worry about what's going on and this and that, because we have the Holy Spirit in abundance, and we have this book, and we have the ability to let the peace of God keep our hearts and minds. We have the ability to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly so that we can function on the basis of divine viewpoint and not human viewpoint. Next Sunday, we'll talk about the second half of this verse. I know some of you sitting there and you wonder, how in the world does he squeeze 55 minutes out of one phrase? I'm not trying to just be long-winded for the sake of being long-winded, but we need to get this. We need to understand this. And more than just getting it and understanding it, we need to, by faith, make the choice to live in light of this. Because you're going to have a million choices between now and next Sunday. You're going to have a fork in the road to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to go this way or are you going to go that way? And every single time that you, by faith, make the choice to do what God said, you strengthen that pathway. And the next time you're faced with that situation, is it going to be easier for you to make God's choice? Lord, thanks again for this day and for this time. I'm grateful for these here this morning, those who are gone for whatever reason. Yeah, sounds good, but help to be folks that don't just hear what the Word says, but to be folks that do what it says. To, by faith, act on it. To know, then reckon, and yield to the truth. And understand that your ways and thinking are so much better than our ways. And that you have fully revealed and manifest and declared and disclosed your hidden wisdom, and that we have access to that wisdom, and that when we let the Word of Christ on us richly, it produces the wisdom that we need to operate in life. We're grateful for all the things that you've done for us through Christ.